I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Lori Rubinson.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Welcome back to the program. Lori Rubinson here with you on The Fan. And the Mets, well, they win 2 out of 3 from the Washington Nationals. Incredibly exciting atmosphere, playoff-like atmosphere at Citi Field. They lose on Sunday. Edwin Diaz has more problems. To talk about the Mets, to get a sense of where this run and this hot streak compares to other great Mets runs, we bring in Ed Coleman. This Ed Coleman report is brought to you by Interstate Batteries, every battery for every need. Eddie C., how are you?
Oh, good, Lori. How you doing? All right?
I'm doing well, Eddie. So I wanted to talk to you because, obviously, you know, when a team is winning 14 out of 15 games, and in the middle of August, early August, we're seeing what feels like a postseason atmosphere at Citi Field. I wanted your sense of where this run and, you know, this team that was left for dead and now is back in a wild card picture. Where does this compare? You know, how do you compare it versus seasons like 2015, 2016? You know, I know you weren't covering the team, but, you know, even 1969, 1973, you know, from your consciousness, like from your, you know, where does this compare with other runs?
Yeah, no, I think it has, it's got a similar feel to 2015, which is, I guess, kind of good if it plays out that way, because we know what happened that year.
Mm-hmm.
And that was unexpected. And so is this, for that matter. I mean, I don't think anyone saw a team that was, 40 and 50 at the All-Star break and then goes 21 and 7, what it is now after the loss today. I mean, they jumped right back into things in the space of, you know, 3-4 weeks, and really in the thick of things when everybody had them, you know, dead and buried. So, I think this series in particular, it reminded me a lot of the Washington series back in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Nationals came in then. I believe it was the last day of July, because it was right at the trading deadline. That's when they got Cespedes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the Wilmer Flores game.
Yep.
And the Friday game was obviously dramatic as well, 4-9 this year. I think the Wilmer Flores game was 2-1, so it was a different kind of game, but nonetheless, you got the same kind of feel. And they went on to sweep that series, tie the Nationals. I think the next day they took over first, and they never looked back after that. So, you know, it's a little bit later this year, but and they didn't sweep. They took 2 out of 3. They had a chance to sweep, but it didn't work out for them today. But you kind of get that sense that, you know, they believe in themselves kind of like they did then. And when you have this kind of starting pitching,
mm-hmm.
and you can throw, you know, a good, solid starter out there every day, and most of the time they're going to go 6, probably 7, maybe more. Today, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
Jake got cut short at 5, but you know, when you can do that, you've got a pretty good chance coming down the stretch, as long as you can kind of maintain your offense. It'll come and go, but you know, they've got a decent shot, so they're right back in the thick of things.
Where does the atmosphere that you were seeing at a Citi Field this weekend compare? How does that compare to, you know, other big time atmospheres that you've seen from Mets fans?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was talking to Ryan Zimmerman, who's still on the disabled list. This was after, I think it was, it was before Saturday's game. And he said, wow, he said, that was fun last night. He said, that was fun. Now, they lost, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But he says, that was fun. He says, it was great to hear this place rocking. He says, he loves Citi Field anyway. And he said it was great to hear the place rocking. Honestly, I mean, I looked around Friday and said, where did all these people come from? I mean, I've been watching games with, you know, seemed like 2,000 people in the house, and all of a sudden, you know, you've got 44,000 standing room only. So it's quite a change, but you know, the fans have responded to this team, and I think with good reason too, because there seems to be somebody different every night that kind of steps up. We've seen Luis Guillorme have his moment. All the guys throughout the season. You think, remember Rajai Davis? It seems like a long time ago, but you know, guys that the Mets have called up have contributed. Even the Danny Hecheverria, who they just let go. Had a two-week period where he was scalding the ball and helped them, you know, immensely. So a lot of different guys are chipping in. There's no question. I mean, Alonzo McNeil are steady. Ramos, Frazier, I think, have been steady veterans. But and Conforto has been a very steady rock in the lineup. But they believe in themselves as a team, and I think that's important because you know, they're not going to get to the end or where they want to go if they don't. So that much, they have a belief in themselves, and I think that's important.
Talking to Ed Coleman about the Mets, and Ed, you mentioned a number of the players that are part of the core position players for this team, and then also a bunch of the, you know, kind of lesser-known, unexpected contributors. One guy that you didn't mention, but I think, are we starting to feel like is going to become a part of the core moving forward, is what about J.D. Davis and the energy that he is bringing to this club?
Yeah, he brings an awful lot to this club. He really does. He's a guy that he's very cerebral, but he's also a guy who kind of loves to get down along with Dom Smith, and when he's not playing, you know, cheer on the other guys. The two of them have been, you know, at least they were earlier on in the season, the kind of cheerleaders on the bench. Now, J.D. is not on the bench anymore. He's playing every day, and Dom, unfortunately, is injured. But, you know, Davis has been, he's been a revelation. I mean, that's, if Brody Van Wagenen wants to point to a move that he made in the offseason, that would be the one, I think, that without fail, he's just been terrific and has surpassed, I think, everything that, that people expected of him. He was supposed to be a, you know, right-handed bat off the bench and an occasional guy who could fill in at the corners and maybe the corner outfield, but he's been much, much more than that. Very cerebral, studies, prepares for each game and each pitcher. Chili Davis mentioned to me a while back that in meetings, when they have hitters meetings, he will pick JD's brain if he picked up anything watching film. And that tells me a lot right there. There's the hitting coach looking at one of his players, and not even a regular player at that point in time. This is a guy that, you know, is supposed to be a bench player. So I think other players go to him as well. He helps them out immensely. Robbie Cano is like that, but he's always been like that. You know, helping other players, picking up little things that they might be doing or the pitcher might be doing. But JD, you know, doesn't have the experience that that Cano does, so he's picked this up pretty quick. He's been great. He's been great to be around. The players love him, and he's a lot of fun to watch.
How much of that studying and cerebral approach do you get a sense is just inherently JD Davis, and how much of this is perhaps a system and approach of how they go about things in Houston with the Astros, who are known for study and analytics, and the team that he came from?
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I really haven't gone that deep with him as far as, you know, his Houston background, but he came from there, obviously. They have the reputation for that. I think almost anywhere he was or any organization he was with, he would do this. That's just the way he goes about things. He likes the, you know, the art of baseball, if you will, and the pitcher-hitter matchup and trying to figure things out. You know, I thought he had a great at-bat the other night with the sacrifice fly. I was talking to him about that, where, you know, he's up there now. He's looking to drive the ball, but all of a sudden he gets in a two-strike hole, and you're trying to elevate something to get a run home, and it becomes that much more difficult when you've got two strikes on it. But he's not a guy who's afraid to hit with two strikes. He has two strikes on him a lot, and he doesn't care. He has great at-bats, long at-bats. He can extend it. until he gets the pitch that he wants and can do something with. So it doesn't work all the time, but, you know, he's ready, and he kind of knows what the pitcher is trying to do to him. He plays along as he's up there at the plate. I don't know if a lot of hitters do that. I think still a lot of hitters are probably guess hitters most of the time. You know, they think a slider's coming, they look for it and drive it. You know, J.D. kind of goes along pitch by pitch and tries to figure out what the pitcher is going to come, with that particular pitch. So that's why he's fun to watch. And as far as the Houston background, I don't think it hurts. He probably, it may have started there, but I think no matter where he was or what organization he was with, he'd be that kind of player.
How much is the local player dynamic contributing a certain energy to this team? Just even the latest being now Brad Brock is a is a big Mets fan, and suddenly there's, what is it, 5 out of the 25-man roster are local guys.
Yeah, Joe Panik, who's come aboard. Yeah, I mean, I think that always helps. You know, Panik was elated to be a Brian, and Brock was too, for that matter. You know, they kind of had Met roots, and I haven't asked, you know, Joe might have been a Yankee fan. He's a New York guy. He grew up in Dutchess County and in Hopewell Junction. John Jay, I think, was his high school, East Fishkill up there. So, but, you know, he's been out west for a long time, but he still has a lot of friends and family here. So, you know, he's excited to be back. Yeah, no, I think that plays into it. That helps a little bit. But, you know, these are veteran guys who I think can help you. You know, Panik, that's why I wanted to see him get him, not just because he's from here, but
sure.
He's a good veteran bat off the bench, and they need a left-handed bat. I think that's why Luis Guillorme is here and Echevarria is not. You know, Dom Smith is down, Brandon Nimmo is down, even Robbie Cano is down. So you don't have those bats, and you need a left-handed bat off your bench, and you go out and get one. But, you know, Panik will play a lot. Brad Brock is a guy who last year, you know, when you look at his season last year, he struggled early this year as well, and that's why he was let go. But he struggled last year as well, then went to Atlanta and pitched very well for the Braves, you know, in the second half. So they're hoping he can duplicate that again. He's excited to be here too because, you know, as he mentioned, he was at the 2015 World Series game with, you know, with some friends of his. So he loves it here as well.
All right, Eddie. We got to ask about the bullpen. What would you do with the back of the bullpen? If you were the manager, how would you use Seth Lugo? How would you use Edwin Diaz, Jerry's Familia, you know, Justin Wilson? How would you manage the back of the bullpen?
Yeah, that's listen, I think you're at the point of the season where you've given away so many games, you know, 20 plus games by the bullpen in the first half. It's settled down. And a reason for that, obviously, is the length of the starters. They've gone deeper in games. It's eased the pressure on the bullpen, and that's obviously helped. But I think you're at the situation, and Mickey Callaway won't, I don't think, come out and say this, but if you're in a one-run game late and Seth Lugo is available, Seth Lugo is going to close the game. I don't think there's any question about that. I do think they've been very careful with Diaz not to lose him, if you will. I'm not sure that's doable because, you know, every time he goes out there, something happens. Even in a game that it doesn't kill them, he'll give up a home run. Today he gave up a home run.
Yep.
You know, would that have made a difference? I don't know. It certainly made it harder to come back, but it's been a problem for him. Mickey has said, and I asked him again today, and he reiterated it too, that he is not going to use Diaz before the ninth inning. But that does not mean that he is going to use him each and every time in the ninth inning. I think that when Seth Lugo is available, they have to be careful with him, obviously. Like today, he was down. But when he's available and it's a one-run game, I think you're going to see Seth Lugo out there because they can't afford to throw away any more games. And they just can't wait for Diaz at this point in time. You hope he comes around. There will be games that he's going to go out there and save, but, you know, my guess would be they'd be 2 or 3 run games, I think, and not 1 run games. So, you know, Wilson, you mentioned, is going to be a guy who can help. You hope that he doesn't walk a lot of people. That was his problem last year. It hasn't been that much of a problem this year, but he's been a little up and down. But he's a guy who can get both righties and lefties out, and that's why he's going to be important down the stretch. And Familia, I don't know. It was a big plus today, and
sure.
I think confidence-wise, it was great to see him. He just reared back and threw. You know, he's got great movement on his ball, and when it a lot of times I think that the Juris doesn't know where it's going, but at the same time, you know, when his sinker and his slider are in sync, he can be a very tough pitcher. It was today. Hopefully he gets confidence from that. He can build on that. We'll see. I don't think this says, hey, I'm cured, but see what the next couple bring. They still don't trust him implicitly, let's put it that way, nor do they trust Diaz at this point in time. You know, the only other thing I would say about Diaz, and a lot of people have brought this up, Lori, that, you know, can he handle New York? I haven't seen any indication that New York frightens him or, you know, deer in the headlight look. I don't think it's that. I don't know what it is with him. He got burned with a slider today. I'd like to probably see him throw more fastballs.
Yep.
But, you know, he still needs that slider. That was a knee-buckling pitch for him last year. And at times it's been there for him this year, but certainly not consistently. So I don't have the answers, but I don't think it's the place. Let's put it that way. It's not that Seattle is backwards and here's New York and you can't handle it. I haven't seen that. If that's the case, then he's fooling me. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Mets fans heard it that on the Eddie C, you got to believe meter, reminding you at a little bit so far, maybe, of 2015. Appreciate the time. Eddie, we'll catch up with you soon.
All right, Lori, good talking to you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.